we saw him a couple of times, but couldn't make the communication with that. But I'm glad for those on live streaming and Zoom, and then those of you here in class today. So I've got my report out. There's a printed copy in the back if you need one, or you'll get one in the email on this for last month of our website and all that we're doing in this. In the month of March, God saved a person in Hong Kong, two people in West Memphis, Arkansas. Gave us a total of three for March. This is a total of 13 for the year. That means an average of one per week, and praise the Lord for that. We're praying that maybe we'll keep the average up and we'll at least have one saved every week or on an average of that. But we, those that are there, it's all by God's power. Since 2011, we've had 853 people saved, and we praise God for that, that we know of, that reported, probably more than that, but didn't report. Now, those using our internet website, I have 406 people in March from 41 nations and 40 states that use the website. We have a lot of things on there. We have about 14 Bible courses, other lessons on there, other teachings and videos and all that's there for them to use. Since 2010, we've had 137,278 people from 195 nations and 26 countries and 50 states that have used the program there. And this is all the nations of the world. So people from all over the world and different countries and all have come to our website. And a lot of them will repeat and come back and do other studies. But this count is only those of the ones that's not the duplicates. We only keep a count of those that come on and that for the first time or and with our website. Now, people use the Bible study lessons, taking the Bible courses and so on, the other nation. There are 285 people in March from 32 nations and 39 states. They did 582 Bible study lessons. And I mentioned the first class, I'm glad I didn't have to grade all those. But we're glad that they're using them and are involved in it. They're doing the studies and learning from this and increasing their faith as well as encouraging others and using them in teaching others in other classes. And so now the videos. Now these videos consist mainly of these Sunday school classes. Plus, now like when I did the series out in Fitchue on Revelation, those are on the website. And so there's some other special videos that's on there. We have over 1,000 videos, Bible study videos, that of our Bible studies of different kind on there. This past month, we had 3,189 people from 37 nations that looked at 158 videos on our website. So it takes a lot of people to keep this going. We have two men here, Mike Sherrill and Mike Brundage, that helping this. And then during the week, Mike Sherrill helps with that. And then others that comes to the class and encourage other people to be here. We do two classes. Now, the purpose of that, one is that we've got people in other parts of the world that the time zone, they can't be on it at our 9 o'clock time, but they could at the 8 o'clock time on there. And so, but the other reason for that is for these videos, if we mess up taping the first one, we try to get it corrected for the second one. If I mess up on the first one, then we've got the second one that's there. Try to work that out and get it going on it. So it takes both of them to guarantee that we've got this out here and available for the people to study over and over again and to study and work through and then to reach others for Christ. Now, as far as our Zoom classes go, I've taught 215 people in 21 live Bible classes by Zoom. Right now, we're mainly in Russia and Germany. And we're in Texas and some other states around on this, doing these classes on here, depending on who's on and involved with it. But these are some wonderful tools that God has given us to reach the world for Jesus and for Christ in that. we're going to see the importance of this and why I've brought this up on this particular time, as we see in our study in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16 through 27. All right, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16 through 27. In verse 16, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, now, remember, Ezekiel had this experience with God of the four wheels and the four creatures on outside the wheels. And then Ezekiel saw something that no one else had ever experienced, saw a video, not a video, but a live conference call, what we would call a Zoom, between God and Ezekiel, that was produced by one of these living creatures. And then as God spoke to him, one of the wheels picked him up and carried him to where the captivities were there in Babylon. And he sat down with them for 7 days. So now we're picking up with, at the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came into Ezekiel again, saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. And so now this is a new term that is used in the matter of a watchman, and that he was to give the Israelites warning. He was to go to those that were in captivity, not necessarily the Babylonians, but would possibly include them to a point, but mainly to Israel. And so question one, God made Ezekiel a watchman into the house of Israel. And that has a number of meanings involved with it, not only that of watching what they're doing and to give them warning that they're on the wrong path and to straighten it out, but to watch for those that would harm them or to be, would distract them or warn them of the works of Satan and of others involved in that, and which we do even today in our churches. And then question two, as a watchman, Ezekiel was to give a warning from God to Israel. Now, Israel is the only nation in the world that has written word from God. No other people have that. And so they have a little bit more to work on in dealing with the people of Israel, and especially the Israelites. And God gave them instructions, written instructions, gave them the law and other things to do in that. And so Ezekiel warned them, you're getting off of this. You're doing the wrong thing, and you need to get back right with it. And this is the way God wants us to do it, and things that God will have us to do in that. Now, in verse 18, God puts some things on here that is really kind of unusual, but it still applies today. As I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Now, Jonah, he didn't want to witness to the Ninevites, and he had to be swallowed by a whale and spit out before he would go, and then he still was reluctant in doing that. It's not a matter of a choice in this. When God commands us, we're to go and we're to do it. And there's consequences involved with it. Here with Ezekiel, if he doesn't do it, then their life is required at his hand. So in question three, Ezekiel was also to warn the individual wicked man, not only as a nation, but the individuals in there. He wasn't just to go and have a rally and talk to them and let it go at that. No, he was to go to each individual and to warn them, and especially those that were wicked around him. Then in question four, if Ezekiel did not warn the wicked man and he died in his sins, Ezekiel would be accountable for his blood, for his life. Now, blood represents the life. The Bible tells the Levitical, the life of man is in his blood. And so this is Ezekiel would be accountable for this. Now in verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And so question five, if Ezekiel did warned the wicked man and he would not repent and die, then Ezekiel was not accountable for his blood. So he was accountable if he didn't witness, but if he did and they didn't respond, he was accountable for that. Now, what about the righteous? Say in verse 20, again, when a righteous man doeth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, we call that backsliding or turned away, fallen away from them. And I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Now, will God take the righteous, the saved home early? Yes. When you read about it in Acts, when the church was just growing, and man, they had 5,000 added in 1 week to their church. They had a problem with all these. What are they going to do with these people? Where are they going to put them and how are they going to feed them? They were people from other countries and they were staying there. They weren't going back home. Well, everybody started selling their property. The Christians were of the church, started selling their property and bring the money to the church and help to support this ministry. And there was a couple that came and they sold their property and they agreed to themselves, well, we're going to tell the church we sold it for this amount when they sold it for more than that, and we're giving it all to the church and kept back part for themselves. Well, they agreed to that and they walked in and the wife went to spend part that they saved and her husband was telling Peter what was going on and the Holy Spirit revealed to Peter that he was lying. Well, he died right there on the spot. They didn't even have a funeral for him. The men came in, took him out and buried him. His wife came in later and Peter asked her, said, did you agree to this price? Well, yes, that's what we sold it for. He said, listen, the ones that buried your husband are just now coming in. And she died. I was teaching this to the teachers before in Iowa. On Wednesday night, I'd teach a Sunday school class to the teachers for that coming Sunday. And this deacon and his wife were sitting there, and he started whispering in his wife's ear, and they carried on conversation as I kind of got through this, and he raised his hand. He said, does God still do that today? I said, yes, he does, but we don't bring that out like Peter did. Well, they began to talk again. She reached in, got the checkbook out, and he wrote a check for their past tithes. The message got through on that part. Well, here with Ezekiel, he is to witness to them and even to the righteous. He said in verse 21, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not and he doeth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. So question 6, the same would be with Ezekiel concerning a righteous man, it's with the wicked. So we're responsible in getting the word out and witnessing to others around us. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Now, I said earlier that I could have used Matthew 28, where we'd go into all nations. But also here in Mark, it says, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now in Acts chapter 1 talks about when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, we shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the most part of the earth. A lot of people want to say, well, when I get through with Jerusalem, then we'll work on the other parts of the world, you know. But it says we're to witness both at the same time to all of them. Now here, Ezekiel was to go to the Israelites that were in captivity. We're to go to the whole world, not just to people here in Ada, but to the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every individual involved in it. So question 7, has God made the saved a watchman to all the world? Yes. Now, we need to realize this. Now, when God does things, he wants it done the way that he gets the glory and honor for it. He does things that we wouldn't do or then think would be done. We wonder and question whether or not this is really the will of God. God told Ezekiel to go to his people that's in captivity. And so in verse 22, and the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said to me, arise, go forth to the plain, and I will talk with thee there. And so now Ezekiel's going to leave this group that he's with. He's in captivity, that this one of the wheels carried him there. Now he's to go to the plain. Well, nothing's out there. You want me to witness to the people? Now you take me away from them. You see, things just not kind of the way we do things. Then I rose and went forth in the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river at Shebar, and I fell on my face. Here again, he saw the four wheels and the four creatures. Now, he was supposed to go and witness to those in captivity, and now he's out there where there's not anybody, and he sees the glory of God again, reminding that this is the work of God and not his work. And we as today need to realize that what we do in the church is not our work, it's the work of God. And we do it by his power. And then verse 20, then the Spirit entered to me and set me upon my feet and spake unto me and said to me, go shut thyself within thy house. Now before he said, go to the people, what are you standing here? Go, go. Now he tells him, go back to your house and shut yourself in the house. So question 8, Ezekiel was to go into his house and shut the door. Well, how in the world is he going to witness in his house? And he didn't have radio and television there or any microphones. He was to shut it. Well, that's not enough. God tells him, but thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. How in the world can I go to the people when I'm in my house, the door's shut, and now I'm bound, whether it be chains or ropes or whatever, and I can't go out, see? So question 9, Ezekiel would be bound and not go out among them. How in the world can I witness, say, to the world? I thought about, or to the people, I thought about when God called me to preach the gospel to everyone and to go to the world. And I mean, that was strong in my heart. And the first round of the box, I had a church that ran 2,000 or 3,000. No, I didn't have a church that big. I didn't have a church that had 100. I had a church that ran about 25 or 30. And with those 25 or 30 people, how in the world was I going to reach the world? Lord, why didn't you give me a big church that had the money to send people out and to go and to be involved? Well, he said, you have the cooperative program. You know, God works in strange ways, doesn't he? And work with that. Then continued on with this. Well, now in Ezekiel 26, God said, I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, and thou shalt be dumb and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. Now God is making it impossible for Ezekiel to witness to the people on his own. And so in question 10, God would make Ezekiel's tongue cleave to the roof of his mouth that he might be dumb. You remember the account of Isaiah on Mount Carmel? And he challenged the prophets of Baal, you build an altar, put wood on there, and then put your meat on there, and I'll build an altar, put wood on it, meat on it, and we'll ask our gods to burn it with fire, and the one that sends down fire, we'll worship them. They built their altar, they went through all their rigmaroles, and their God didn't answer. They built his fire, not Isaiah, but let's see, Elijah. I'll get it straight here. Elijah built his altar, put the wood on it, told him to put 12 barrels of water on it, soak that wood with water, fill up the trench that we dug around it. Impossible for that thing to burn. Put the meat on there and called on God, and God set fire down that not only burnt that, but burnt the stones and everything, and the dust around it, but didn't kill anybody. God got the glory. See, it wasn't a matter. Elijah would stick a coal in there when nobody was looking, set the thing afire, or that dry wood. See, no, that wouldn't be it. Ezekiel, to witness to the people, wasn't going to be by his power. tongue would cleave to the roof of his mouth, and he would be dumb. And then in verse 27, but when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are rebellious house. These people are rebellious. They need to know God is speaking through Ezekiel. Ezekiel's not doing his ability, but in the ability of God. He said, when I will open your mouth, then thou shalt say to them, thus saith the Lord. What he says is not his idea. What he says is what God wants him to say. And that's the true with all the prophets. And that's the way it ought to be true with all the preachers today. And all of us. We go and we witness in the power of God, not in our ability and our strength to do this. So question 11, Ezekiel would only speak when God would open his mouth. And so this is very important. Over and over again, through all of these years of pastoring churches, I would see people in our churches over and over again, regardless of how hard I would preach to them, they would still try to do what God wanted them to do in their ability. How did I know that? When we would start on a project that God gave us to do, the first round out of the box, someone would say, we don't have enough money to do it. We can't do that. We don't have enough people to do it. We can't do that. In other words, they were saying, we've got to do this in our ability. And I said, it doesn't make any difference whether we've got the money or people or not. We got to do whatever God wants us to do it in his power. He'll provide the money. He'll take care of the people. He'll see that the job is done. Then God gets the glory and not us. And that's where it needs to be today. And when we do anything, we do it the way God wants us to, and let the people know it's God's doing, not ours. So Ezekiel would say, thus saith the Lord God. Now today we're trying to teach people, this is what Paul said, this is what Peter said, this is what John said, this is what Isaiah said. And if we're going to understand it, we got to know the background of them so we can understand why they wrote what they wrote. That's the wrong premise. It didn't happen that way. God gave them the words to say, and they're written the way God wanted to be, and we're to proclaim it as God's word, not what they said or what they thought, but what God is saying, what God thinks about it. Why is God writing this? Why is this? Why did God give us this information to let us know we're to do it his way? And oh, what a difference we'd make in our land. You talk about a revival, we'd have revival. You talk about the power of God. Now, the early church was doing it God's way. They didn't know how to do anything else. Their hands were tied about like Ezekiel. And the comment was made on the early church, these are the people that turned the world upside down. That ought to be said about us today. We are working in the power of God, not in our ability. That's why I gave the report and wanted to give it today on this, of what God is doing through the internet ministry on this. It's not anything that I've done or that I could do. I couldn't even dream it up, but God worked it out. And he's taught me and brought me along with this. It's not my doings. And the power, man, I couldn't even begin to believe. I witnessed to more people and have been able to teach more people in these 10 years or 11 years through the internet than what I've done my whole ministry. We have every opportunity. We have more means of witnessing today than we've ever had before. If you have a computer, if you send emails, you have an opportunity of witness and testifying to others. If you're on Facebook, my goodness, you don't need to tell them that you got up and brushed your teeth this morning or combed your hair or took a shave. On that, you need to get up and say, this is the day I realize this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, you need to write, I got up today and I read Psalms 100, verse 1 and 2. Or that during the day, you might say, man, this has been the day that the Lord has made it. And he's blessed me with these blessings. And count your blessings over there. Or you could say, I read this particular verse today and it blessed my heart. You print it out and let them see it. Oh, there's so many ways of getting the word out through the technology that we have today on that, with that. I can remember that when the phone came out and we had the party lines. Well, we kind of were talking about the party lines, and you had to be careful what you say because of everybody hearing it. I said, why not get on that party line and talk about the Lord? Why not read some scriptures on that party line? You see, we're not letting God use us and use the technology we have, whether it be that of the old-fashioned party lines or whether it be that of the technology we have of the internet and the social media that we have today. Oh, my. The church woke up late on using the radio. They cursed the radio. That was the work of the devil. And then they realized the radio could reach people that they couldn't reach. The church cursed the television and all that the devil was using it. Then finally woke up and said, we can use it too. And now by television, we're reaching into homes that, and with people that couldn't come. And the same thing with the internet. Yes, the radio, the television, the internet has a lot of evil when it's in hands of people that are not redeemed. But in the hands of the redeemed, God can use it. Let God use it through you. We're watchmen to all the world. So a lesson, if you learn nothing else from Ezekiel, we need to learn this lesson. Ezekiel was told to go, and God made it impossible for him to go and said, now you'll go when I want you to go. And in my power, and you to do what I have you to do, thus saith the Lord, and let the people know that. And that's what we need to realize. Let God use you and work through you on that. All right.